Blog Talk Radio.
Into the rubble, bubbling. We don't need no more trouble. Double telescope vision, hot, hot vision. Like I'm running the mock up on a rhythm. Stay on the band so you don't lose the vision. Game sizzling, Peter Pan up from my pants. Just like yourself from the silly feeling it. You're breathing it. You put on your glasses and you see through it.
Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you, I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty.
Like a rat on a wheel, try to find a new deal. Who is there? Take it for a meal. This world is real on the heels of a final generation.
I remember that day in November, standing on a roof and I'm feeling so tender. All shook up like I've been in the blender. Fend off the demons in the park after dark. Send me a hand, I want to be a member. Spent too much and now I'm rendered dead. Mend these wounds, we got a find a common thread. Want to fly in the sky, but you're heavy like
lead. Fear nobody, what is majesty? My spirit. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me.
Just a tool in the hands of the builder. Fill them with the strength to go further. Digging deep for eternal treasure. Stay away from quicksand and false pleasure. They mouth speak with arrogance. Appearance like a lion lurking in the mist. They surround them, they gaze their fixed. Grab the rope of God's heritage.
Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me.
My distress, you will relieve. Shield me on a path that's dark and slippery. This sick deception and futility. I stand with integrity. Sneak to the roof of that building. Don't want nobody here to see me. To say that I'm living in a fantasy. But I believe in finding deep. And I plead in sincerity.
Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yarael of Beth Yahweh. As always, just going to remind everyone to grab all your study materials, your notepads, your pens, your pencils, your highlighters, those things that you would need for a good study, your concordance, your Bible dictionaries, all those things that's needed. Hopefully, everyone had a wonderful week. So, we're going to get into another session. Before that, we're going to start off with Merciful Father Yah. We thank thee for allowing us to come together on a Shabbat day and give you honor and give you praise. We ask of thee to open our hearts and open our minds to receive the wonders of your word on this Shabbat day, the day in which you say you will meet with us. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. And as always, we're going to start off, as you know, we're talking about the armor of God. And we're going to talk about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. And it reads, "Above all, take up the shield with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one." I'll probably be reading this scripture one more time, but I just want to, you know, let y'all know where we're going to be at today. And we're going to start off in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the reason why I'm starting here is because we're talking about putting on the whole armor of Elohim. And so far we've put on various parts, but we have to understand that we're defending ourselves. You know, we're in a battle, and we're defending ourselves against the adversary. But one of the things that we, you know, we have to be mindful of is, how is he attacking us? What is he attacking us with? And we know that he's attacking us because the scriptures tells us that he's always attacking. So I'm going to start here again, Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and it reads, "Yahushua said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat." So right here, you know, we're seeing that Satan asked for permission. So as believers, we know that this is telling us that HaSatan asked for permission to take us through trials and tribulations if we're calling ourselves believers. And he says, sifting as wheat. So as you know, if you go through the process of sifting something, you're taking it through a fine strainer, and you're trying to get all the chaff and all the stuff that's not needed for baking. So you get that out. And so that's what he wants us to do. He wants to sift us to find those imperfections, so that he can ride those imperfections within us. From here, we're going to go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And this is one of the means in which he uses to sift us like wheat or to attack us. And it reads, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life isn't the Father's, is the world's." So we have to take that in consideration. We are of the world. We are of, you know, we came from the earth. So these characteristics, this lust that we have, is in us. And as you know, this is one of the things that, you know, when Adam and Hawa was in the garden, these are the things that caused them to disobey or be disobedient toward the Most High. So it's nothing new. It's nothing new. And HaSatan uses the same means to overcome us and to cause us to be disobedient to the Most High. So from here, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And it reads, "Be sober and self-controlled. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So we're going to go here. Sober. Be sober. You know, you want to make sure that you're thinking properly. You're not being deceived. You're not being under the influence of something that's not proper. You want to be self-controlled. You want to maintain your emotions, keeping your emotions intact. Being watchful. You got to pay attention to what's going on around you, because your adversary is watching you and seeing where you're falling short, seeing where you're getting caught up in the lust of the flesh, or you're getting caught up in the lust of the eye, or you're being prideful in your actions and in your deeds. See, that's why he's looking. He's looking for your weaknesses. And he knows that our lust or our desire to please ourselves is our shortcoming. And just like a lion, when you pay attention to a lion in its natural habitat, when it feeds, I mean, because that's the only time it's out there hunting, is when it's time to eat. And what do? They focus on the weak. They focus on the young. They focus on the old. And that's what the adversary does also. He focuses on our shortcomings. Then from here, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And it reads, that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. See, we as believers, we're not ignorant. We know how he's coming. But when we choose to allow him to overtake us, we have chosen that. We didn't defend ourselves. Because that's what we're talking about, putting on your whole armor. You wasn't watchful. You wasn't paying attention. You know, you went out into the battle and left something. You went out into the battle and didn't do something that you normally would do. And the adversary pays attention to that. Because he never sleeps. He never sleeps. And from here, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. And it reads, now the works of the flesh are obvious, which are adultery, sexual immorality, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, robbery, division, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these, of which I forewarn you, even as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yah. See, these are the things that we've been told about, that he's going to come, the means that he's going to use to cause us to stumble. So we can't say we don't know, because the scriptures tells us. And then we go through different stories throughout the scriptures where our forefathers fell short in these different areas. So we have the examples within the scriptures about how other brothers and sisters fell short, and how the adversary just uses the same thing over and over and over again. And the only way that we can overcome that is by putting on the whole armor of Yah to defend ourselves, and to choosing Yah as our protection, and then believing it in his son, Yahushua. So these were my start, you know, as they say, preface scriptures, just to rehash You know, why are we putting on the whole armor of God? So now we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. And I'm going to just read that again, because we're going to go over a few words within it. And hopefully, once we hear the definitions and a couple scriptures to go with it, just to reinforce certain things within our armor that we're constantly putting on, that we're constantly shining up, that we're constantly making sure it's tight. Because we understand as believers that we're in a battle. We're always in a battle. Because we have taken on the lot of Yahushua. As the scriptures say, as he said, they will hate us just like they hated him. Because we have taken up his burden. We have taken up his stake, and we are carrying it now. I'm going to read it again. Above all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So we're going to start at the word shield. And in your Greek lexicon, it's 2375. Thureos. And it's used a heavy oblong Roman shield. And I guess, you know, we're using that particular definition because, you know, during this time, Israel was in Roman captivity, or Rome was running rampant in Israel at the time. So I want to, when you look it up in the Greek lexicon, I'm going to read the definition from the Helps Word Study. And it says, properly, a gate or door shape used of a large oblong ancient Roman shield, which looks like a full door. Large enough to provide full protection from attacks. Another definition that it reads, it says a full body shield referred to God and working of faith, the shield of faith, which protects the whole believer, covering their whole person in spiritual warfare. See, that's what we're talking about, that spiritual warfare. And putting on his whole armor. Then it says, Elohim himself is our shield, providing protection of faith and believers. This always extinguishes the missiles of the enemy. And it makes references to a couple of other scriptures, like it makes reference to Psalms 7:10 and 13. Zechariah 12:8. And it also makes reference to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then I looked the word shield up in Webster's, and it says a broad piece of defensive armor carried on the arm, one that protects or defends. Defense. So we understand that the shield is a form of defense, a defense mechanism to assist us in battle. And that's from a spiritual perspective and from a physical perspective. So from there, you know, when it first said something about a door, first thing came to my mind was Yahushua. And I went to John chapter 10, and I read, we're going to read 1 through 7. And it reads, most certainly, I tell you, one who doesn't enter by the door, and that's our word, 2:23:74. The term in this scripture is door. However, it's the same word. It's a derivative of our word shield, and it's 2374, and that means door. To the sheepfold, let me start over. Most certainly I tell you, one who doesn't enter by the door into the sheepfold or climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But one who enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follows him, for they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Yahushua spoke this parable to them, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Yahushua therefore said to them again, "Most certainly, I tell you, I am the sheep's door." So he's letting you know that he is that door. He is that protection. And we know that this door is leading us into the kingdom. But one of the things that came to my mind in reading this is when Israel left Egypt, one of the things that they said is that they will listen to his voice. And they said that they was going to listen to his voice through Moses, because Moses was that mediator for them. The Most High spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people. This is an example of Yahushua speaking to the people, being that mediator between the Most High and the people. So from here, I went to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And it reads, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in to him, and I will dine with him, and he with me." One of the things that Yeshua said, that he had to leave expediently, but he said he was going to send the Comforter to them, and the Comforter was going to give them understanding. What was he doing? He was sending his spirit back to speak to the people, so that they can gain understanding of his word, so that they can understand the law, statutes, and judgment, so that they can understand and get through life with him by their side, leading them, protecting them. And one of the things that come to my mind right now is when we deal with our forefathers, they had a relationship with Yeshua. They had a belief in Yeshua. They was listening to the words that were being spoken to them and following behind them. Why? Because they were one of his sheep. The question is, are you one of his sheep? And if so, are you listening when he's calling you? Are you listening when he's knocking on the door and trying to sup with you? See, because what just came to my mind is when we deal with the Shema, and it talks about sitting down. When you sit down, when you sit down with your family, you're sitting down and you're having a meal, and you're discussing the affairs of the day, but ultimately you're discussing Torah. You're discussing the ways of the Most High. And this is what Yeshua is telling us at this time. Then if you look the word door up in your Greek lexicon, it's 2374. And it's thura, door, meet, an opportunity. So what is he doing? He's giving us an opportunity to do the right thing, to choose him. See, because one of the things that we should learn is that the Most High doesn't force us to do anything. He gives us an opportunity to choose him. And he wants us to choose him because he encourages us to choose him also. He wants us to listen to him. He wants us to be obedient. From here, we're going to go to Psalms 91, verse 4, and it reads, "He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings, you will take refuge. His faithfulness is your shield and your rampart." In some translations, it has buckler, because and that's how I remembered this particular scripture, or when I was going through the study, and this is where it led me to, and this particular scripture, I was looking up shield and buckler. So I ended up looking up buckler, as we know that the shield is a protective mechanism that's the size of a door. So I ended up looking up buckler, and it's a small shield handheld shield, you know, that's arm's length. But then in this particular scripture, you know, it has a rampart. I'm going to get to that, well, since I'm here. Rampart is a protective barrier. Then it refers to a word called bulwark, and that's a solid wall-like structure that's raised for defense. So when we're dealing with this, what is it saying? It is saying that, you know, Yeshua is that rampart. He's that strong wall that protects us. He's that shield that protects us. And his faithfulness, because he loves us, causes him to do these things for us. So in this particular scripture we went to, it has faithfulness. And that's 571 in your Hebrew lexicon. No, your Hebrew concordance. And that's emet. And it means firmness, faithfulness, truth. And then we've talked about truth. You know, truth was that what we gird our loins with. We gird our loins with truth. And, you know, so when I went there, it makes a reference to another word, aman, at 539, to confirm, support, to assure, believe, bring up, establish, steadfast. So now, so these are some scriptures that came to my mind in regards to dealing with this door and dealing with this shield. So from there, we're going to deal with what this shield does. It establishes faith, the shield of faith. And so the word for faith in the Greek lexicon is 4102. Pistis. And the definition for it is faith, belief, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness. And it comes from another word, pithos. But in this particular scripture, we're going to finish reading it, it's in persuasion, i.e., cadence, moral conviction of a religious truth or truthfulness of Elohim or a religious teacher, especially reliance upon the Messiah for salvation, abstract constants and such professions by extension of the system of religion, then it has in parentheses gospel, truth itself, assurance, belief, fidelity. So one of the words that came, that jumped out at me was fidelity. And I looked that up in the Webster Dictionary, and it says fidelity is the quality of faithfulness or loyalty. Its origin means regarding duty in a broader sense than the related concept of fealty. So I end up looking that word up also. And fealty, if I'm pronouncing that right, fealty, thank you, is an oath of fealty. It comes from Latin. It's a pledge of allegiance of one person to another. So I looked the word allegiance up. And allegiance is a duty of fidelity said to be owed or freely committed by the people, subjects, or citizens to their state or sovereign. So, one of the things that came to my mind when reading that those definitions for faithfulness is that our Heavenly Father and how he loves humanity and how he sent his son down for humanity's sake. But before that, he established some covenant. You know, as we know, he's a covenant God, a covenant mighty one. And he made covenants throughout the course of, you know, we read throughout the scriptures. He made a covenant with Adam. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. And when we deal with the covenant for Adam, you can go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and 19. You can also go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 30, chapter 2, 16 to 17. Noah covenant, you can go to Genesis chapter 9. Abraham covenant, you can go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, 6 and 7, chapter 13, 14 to 17, and verse 15. Chapter 15. We can go to chapter 17, verses 1 to 14. Chapter 22, 15 to 18. We can go to. So then we have a Palestinian covenant, or and this was based on Palestinian covenant or a land covenant. And this was in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 to 10. You have the Mosaic covenant, which is in Deuteronomy chapter 11. And then, you know, part of that, you can go get that from Exodus chapter 20. Then we have the Dawid covenant, which is in chapter Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 8 to 16. And then within that Dawood's covenant, you have it talks about the future king, who is Yeshua, and that's in Luke chapter 1, verses 32-33. Then we have, as they say, the new covenant, which is in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31-34. There's also references to this covenant in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, and also in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And I went here because just dealing with, you know, Almighty One makes a covenant with us. Makes a covenant with us. And he wants us to, you know, he shows an allegiance to us, and we're supposed to show allegiance to him and listen to his word. And how do we do that? By upholding his word, by standing for his word, by showing loyalty to him and not listening to strangers. Not being caught up in what other people are doing. Scriptures talk about if they don't speak according to this word, there's no light in them. And he helps us. He helps us in our day-to-day life. He calls to mind his word to us to give us an opportunity to stand for him. He reminds us that we should put on our shield, pick up our shield, that we should put on our breastplate, that we should gird our loins. He reminds us. He gives us an opportunity to choose him. And he does that without, and we're supposed to have faith in him, faith in his word, faith in his truth. And so from here, I looked up the word confidence. And then in your Greek lexicon is 3982. And I went there because of the term persuasion, or the word in which faith comes from, pythios, which is 3982. Pythios is to persuade, to have confidence, urge. So when we look at the definition for pythios, or the confidence, it's to convince by argument, true or false. By analogy, reflective or passive, to assent. See, how does he persuade us? How does he convince us? He convinced us by our forefathers and the different things that they've done, and how they show faithfulness in Yah, faithfulness in Yahushua, and how they overcame the obstacles that they were confronted with, how he protected them in battle. And as we know, as we, you know, when we read the top of this particular, you know, Ephesians chapter 6, you know, we war not with flesh and blood, but with principalities in high places. And he assists us in this battle, when we pledge allegiance to him, because he's pledging allegiance to us, because we have a task to do for him, and that is to rid this world of Hasatan and his minions. But we have to prepare ourselves now So when that day comes, we have already went through the struggle. And we will be skilled at doing the will of the Most High, because we've done it in the flesh. See, the struggles that we go through now is preparing us so that we won't have to go through these struggles in the spiritual. We become, as you know, one of the brothers, we are the superheroes that these comics are writing about, that they have pulled from the scriptures. And he has shown us the evidence of his authority. And one of the things that come to my mind is when he shows us his authority, he wants us to constantly remember when he brought the Israelites out of Egypt, or brought the Hebrews out of Egypt. He goes to that. Why? Because at that time, he was dealing with Pharaoh, who assumed the position of God on earth. And what did he do? The Most High showed his power and showed that his realm and his authority was no match for him. And we as believers in Yah and believing in Yahushua and believing in the Elohim of the Torah, that's who we serve in. That's who we are serving. And he's given us the tools so that we can defend ourselves in this world and as well as the unseen world. And then the definition for Pythios 3982, there was a word in it, assent. I don't really use that word too much, so I looked it up, and it's an expression of approval or agreement. I think it's a scripture, I think it's in Amos, and it reads, how can one walk together? How can two walk together lest they agree? We have to agree with the Most High and walk in his truth. We have to agree. We have to approve in his truth and follow after it. So from here, we're going to go to, and this is dealing with, you know, we just got finished dealing with faith. Now, we're going to go to the part that talks about quenching. And read it again. Above all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. So with this shield, we're going to be able to quench the heat of these darts, or or all these different things that the adversary uses that causes us to stumble, using our shortcomings. But this shield of faith assists us in quenching. So the word for quench is 4570 in your Greek lexicon. And it's sibinoumi. And it means to quench, to extinguish, to suppress. So I looked the word quench up in my Webster's dictionary. And it means to put out, to extinguish, to put out the light or fire of the quenching glow coals with water. That's an example. To cool to cause to lose heat or warmth. And then I looked the word extinguish up, and it means to bring to an end, to reduce to silence or ineffectiveness, to cause to cease burning, to cause extinction. So that's what this shield does. It causes things to stop. Our faith can stop us from going through a lot of foolishness, because it's used to help us to defend ourselves. You know, it puts the fire out. As we say, these fiery darts. So from here, I look the word fiery in that same scripture. It's 44:48 in your Greek lexicon, and it's puru, and it means to set on fire, i.e. burn, inflame, glow with heat. So I looked up the term inflame in this particular scripture, and it's a verb used with an object. So when we're looking at this fiery, it's actually, you know, a verb describing these darts. And it's to kindle, to incite passion or desire, to arouse to a high degree of passion or feelings, to incite or arouse as to violence. See, when we were talking about those passions or those works of the flesh, see how desire gets riled up, gets heated. And see, and that's one of the reasons why we have to have self-control. As we read in that one scripture, being sober and self-control. See, because we have to have control over these desires. See, and that's what's caused, and that's why we need that faith. That's why we need that shield, because that shield is going to assist us in maintaining a level of self-control. Because if we don't have it, what happens? Those fiery darts are going to hit us. We're going to get caught up, and our emotions are going to rise up in our shortcomings and cause us to stumble. So we need this to help protect us, because, as we said, we're in a constant battle with the adversary. Why? Because Yahushua dwells within us. We're following the Lamb wherever he shall go. We're heeding his voice. And we know when he was here, the adversary was beefing with him. And as we read in the scriptures, he's always going to be beefing with Yahushua until that battle comes again. And he comes back with that rod of iron. So from here, we're going to go to the darts. You know, these darts are fiery. This is the weapon in which Hasatan is using. The fiery darts. So I looked that word up, darts, in the Greek lexicon, and it's 956. And it's, the definition is a missile, a dart, a javelin, an arrow. We've heard that before. I mean, we, you know, back in the, you know, what comes to my mind right now is Nimrod. He was a mighty hunter. He was skilled with that arrow. You had Esau. He was skilled with that arrow. You had Ishmael. He was skilled with that arrow. That weapon has been used for a long time, that arrow. And as we know, the arrow is on the, it's a sharp pointy piece of metal or stone or something that's on the end of a long, we would say, stick or something. But one of the definitions that it have also, it says missile, dart, javelin, arrow. And so a javelin is a long spear with a sharp edge or a dart at the end of it. And so from 956, Velos, it takes you to 906, which is below, and it's to throw or cast. So as we know, this is how he does it. He throws these things at you. And see, that's why we need that shield to help protect our whole body. See, when the adversary is fighting us or throwing things at us, the Oshawa is right there helping us out. He's whispering to you. He's sending his voice to you, telling you how to defend yourself. But he also has given us his word. He's also given us the prophets, which is his word, so that we can use it to defend ourselves in this battle. And one thing that just came to my mind is, do you realize that you're in a battle, believers? Do you believe that you're in a battle, Israel? Do you believe that? And if you believe that, are you preparing yourself for battle? Are you preparing yourself for battle? Are you proving yourself to be a well-trained soldier, well-trained servant? You know, one of the slogans for, you know, U.S. Army is, you know, a few good men. You know, but we're not going to, a few good believers. You know, that's what Yeshua is looking for, a few good believers. Because when we pay attention to the battles in the scriptures, it wasn't a whole bunch of people. It wasn't. Wasn't a whole bunch. It was the elite, those who had faith, those who had a desire to serve the Most High and to do his will. Is your desire great to serve Yah, to follow the leadership of Yahushua? Because when we go through the scriptures, that's who they were following. That was sure. Because he led them by day in a cloud, by night, fire. He was the one that was at that door knocking. He was the one that was speaking to them to weed the people out. Because he wanted good soldiers, those who were down for the task, those who had belief in him, those who believed the word. I looked up the word darts. I'm just going to define it. Darts, a missile weapon designed to fly such that a sharp, often weighted point will strike first. They can be distinguished from javelins by fletching, i.e. feathers on the tail and the shaft, that is short and more flexible, and from arrows by the fact that they are not on the right length and used on a normal bow. So as we see, arrows were used on bows. Darts were shorter than javelins, and darts had feathers on them, where a javelin didn't have any feathers. So a dart was used to actually, I guess, fly a little further than the javelin. And I'm going to go back to the scripture itself again, because for this one, it just seems like it was just cut and dry. You know, we talk about faith. We talk about the adversary. But now we have to really acknowledge and understand what is going on. We're putting this armor on. We're studying the word. We're seeing the word, and from various, you know, from various avenues, how the word takes on different characters, you know. So now we're seeing how the word takes on battle armor. We take on how Yahushua is our battle armor. See, makes you really understand why he had to leave. Because if he stayed here, believers wouldn't have did anything. They would have just sat around and watched him do the things that he did. But he had to leave so that the people who believed in him could do his will, could show him in the world. So family, as we learn more and more about this armor, as you learn more and more, as you study and travel along the scriptures, to get a little more insight about this armor and put it on. Because the task ahead, it's going to be a doozy. You know, we hear about war in the world. We hear about the different struggles in our cities. Why? Because they have no light in them. Their hearts are filled with darkness. Their shields are down. So they're being burnt alive. They have no faith. And the faith that they have is in themselves. See, because those gods that they rise up are no gods at all, but the gods of their imagination. They're their own god. And they're following in that darkness. But we, as believers, those who believe in the word of Yah, have the testimony of Yahushua, witness to the Torah by our actions and deeds. See, because we become that light to those who are in darkness when we show the living word in our day-to-day life. Like today, we're meeting with Yah on the Sabbath day. The day in which he set apart, set aside for us to give him praise and give him honor. As I bid everyone good night, I'm going to say a prayer first, but just everybody, just pay attention to what we've been going over the past couple of weeks. that armor. See, because that armor helps you when you leave your house, and that armor also helps you while you're in your house. Because it helps you to overcome the foolishness that dwells within your own mind. Merciful Father Yah, as we come before thee on thy Sabbath day, we ask thee to continue to help us to stand on your word in our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind. Fortifying ourselves with your word, with your truth, so that the light of Yahushua can constantly glow within us. For it's through his spilled blood that we have been given an opportunity to make it into your kingdom. Through him that we've been given an opportunity to live. Blessed are you, Yahweh, seed of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with peace. Good night, Yisrael. Have a peaceful slumber. May the Most High continue to bless you. And may you continue in his word and his truth. Good night. Shalom.
rally.
Over a wall, may the king answer you on the day that you call. Stand tall, battle yard from the clouds, crawl low on stalled. Have been slain, draped over New York like a prayer shawl. Holy one enthroned on the prayer.